Apostle Paul, third missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 20, verse 1 and following. And verse 1 says, "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts, he had given them much exhortation or encouragement. He came unto Greece. And there, verse 3, abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius of Derbe, Timothy of Asia, Tychicus, and Tryopimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas." Let us pray here tonight. Dear Lord, thank you for your word, and I pray that you bless it upon our hearts here tonight. Thank you for Jesus Christ, all he means to us. And Father, thank you that you are a God who's ever present with us. And I thank you that through much tribulation, we each of us shall enter the kingdom of God. So Lord, bless your word. Help me and honor your son and your word here tonight. And pray the Holy Spirit would glorify Jesus Christ. So Lord, bless us as your people. Feed us with your heavenly manna, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Chapter 19 was a very exciting chapter here for the Apostle Paul in Ephesus, and great is the Diana, the Ephesians, all that he went through there. And after this uproar, verse 20, talking about the uproar in chapter 19, this uproar was quite a disturbance. And as Paul assessed the situation, as he looked about for the Ephesian believers, he realized it's probably best he move on, because all that Demetrius, the silversmith, did, it just made it impossible for Paul to stay there because he would be a point of contention for everyone. So in the providence of God and the wisdom of Paul, he realized it was time for him to move on. So after the uproar ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples. Now, a disciple is one who's a follower, one who's a true believer, one who embraces the things of God. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. You're a disciple. And the thing about discipleship, does it ever end for the believer? Does your discipleship, it never ends. Because each day, the Lord wants us to be more like him, and we can learn more about him. And it's a way that we grow in discipleship. And Jesus says that we should seek him and love him with all of our heart. And to be a true disciple, that's what we try to do. Somebody that isn't learning in the grace of God, isn't studying the scriptures, isn't assembling with the believers, isn't listening to good preaching, isn't listening to the word of God, they're not a true disciple. Because a true disciple will hunger and thirst for righteousness. They want to know God. They want to know God. And for Paul, he knew these disciples. He embraced them. He wanted to help them. In verse 1, he called unto him the disciples and embraced them because they had grown near and dear to his heart. He cared about them. And for us as God's people, we have to have people around us we care about. And Paul, as he was considering leaving now because Demetrius had made it impossible for him to stay there, this uproar would have put the other believers in danger. And Paul felt like it's time to probably pull up my tent stakes and move on. So he called the disciples, he embraced them because he loved them, cared about them. They were near and dear to his heart. And we as believers should have that affection one for another. "Herein you'll be known if you're my disciples if you have love one toward another." And Paul loved the brethren. And the brethren loved him, the disciples loved him, and he had imparted to them much spiritual truth. And he told them that he was going to depart and go into Macedonia. And so he pulled up his tent stakes, and what's interesting about verses 2 and 3, there's a lot more that happened here that's covered in the 1 Corinthians. As Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, he talked about this time here. Luke here, he briefly just touches upon it here because eventually he wants to get to where Paul is going to go to Rome and all that encounter there. So Paul... his life here is condensed by Luke in just a very few verses here of all that Paul did as he traveled here. When he'd gone over those parts, he'd given them much exhortation, much encouragement. He came unto Greece. Now, for Paul, would it have been easy for him to get discouraged? Would it have been easy for Paul to get discouraged? I mean, absolutely. I mean, yeah, he didn't, when he came into town, he wasn't asking what the hotel's like. He said, what's your jails like? Because he knew he might end up there. If you know, I'm half joking, but it's half true. And he had much to struggle with. But, you know, as God encouraged him, he encouraged others. And that's what we're to do. Once you put your hand to the plow, are you to look back? When you put your hand to the plow, what do you keep doing? Right, that's right, Victor. You get a crooked. If you look backwards, you get a crooked row. And I told that to an Amishman one time, and they said back to me, "Well, you can get more corn in a crooked row." Well, that may be true for corn, but not for the believer's life. You want to plow straight ahead for God. And you know, Paul, he put his hand in the plow. He didn't. He was encouraging others. And where did he get that strength from? He walked in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And God gave to him that he could give to others. He encouraged others, even though he was having a hard time. You know, he loved the Ephesians. He probably would have stayed there longer if he'd been able to, but he realized what's best. His presence was endangering the other believers, and this uproar made it impossible for him to stay. So what did he do? He decided to go to Macedonia. And there he abode about 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, now, they weren't waiting for him to invite him over for supper. That means they wanted to take his head off. They wanted to kill him. And they laid wait for him. As he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. So evidently, they knew what his plans were, and so he pulled a fast one on them. He went the other way. In other words, they thought he was going this way. He turned and went the other way. He went back in through Macedonia. They were hoping to catch him, and they weren't able to. And, you know, again, Luke, he just, it's like, you ever throw a stone in the water? Pew, it pop, 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 pop. It's just skipping. That's all Luke's doing. He's just skipping over so much material here that happened in the life of Paul. But again, Luke's wanting to get us to Rome and all that Paul went through there. That's where Luke is focused here. So he skips a lot that's happened. But Paul, they still... And you know, Satan, what does 1 Peter 5:8 say? He goes about as what? A roaring lion, seeking who he what? Devour. And that's what Satan was trying to do for Paul. Because Satan knew that Paul loved the disciples in verse 1. Satan knew that Paul embraced them. He gave his own life, was not even dear unto himself. He was a man of God. And you look on a map, look at all the third missionary journey, all the places that Paul went, boom, 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 boom. I mean, it's incredible. You know, we got cars, we got planes, all kinds of travel. He didn't have that in that day. When Paul traveled, it was tough traveling. But why did he do that? Because he loved the brethren. He loved the disciples. And he didn't value his own life dear unto himself. Well, the Jews tried to kill him. That's Satan behind the Jews. They have enemies. And what does Acts chapter 14, verse 22 say? What does that verse say? Acts chapter 14, verse 22. We looked at this some weeks ago. Confirming the souls of the disciples, that's what Paul was doing, and exhorting them, that's what he was doing. He was encouraging them to continue in the faith. You guys stick with it. You put your hand in the plow, you don't turn back. God's faithful, you be faithful to God. And that we must, and not that maybe, we must, through much tribulation, that's what Paul went through, the uproar, and they laid in wait for him. We must, through much tribulation, enter where? Into the kingdom of God. Hey, you know, that's our focus as believers. It's tough on this side of eternity. But one day, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you what? Be also. And you know, that's when we're going into that day of rest. And for Paul, he was a man of God, committed to God. And that's where you separate the men from the boys, those who love God, those that are weak in the faith. Paul wants to be strong. We got to be strong in the faith as God's people. So he laid wait for him in verse 3, and he pulled a fast one on. They thought he's heading to Syria. He went back through Macedonia. But you know what Paul needed and what God gave to him was in verse 4 of Acts 20. There accompanying him unto Asia, 7 men. Now, why did Paul have those 7 men with him there in verse 4? You know why? He was still discipling them, but they were his traveling companions. And Ecclesiastes says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. Jesus sent them out 2 by 2. And when you're in the midst of the battle, you need some good men around him. And these were mighty men of God, men that love God, that honor God, and were there with Paul through his hardships. And they were those that God raised up around Paul. As he carried the light of the gospel, these men walked in his footsteps, helping him and encouraging him. These are some of Paul's mighty men that helped him in his life. You know, Paul couldn't have done it alone. Now tell me this, do you have days you're down? Do you have days you're down? I have days I'm down, but you know what's good? If you're down and your Christian brother's up, he can lift you up. If you're up and he's down, you can help him up. You know what we do? We help each other. We lean on each other. And there accompanying him, God provided for him 7 faithful men that would help hold up his hands. And, you know, we need some men of God around us that help hold up the man of God that's plowing the hard fields. You know, for Paul, he wanted to go where no man has gone before. Now, there's men that have ministries, but they build upon another man's ministry. You know, some man starts it and they take it, which is all well and good. But for Paul, he was on the front line. He was going where Christ hadn't been named before. And he was doing the hard work, and he needed some good men around him to carry this burden with him. And how did Paul feel sometimes? Well, turn to 1 Corinthians here for a moment. How did Paul feel sometimes? I am so sorry. Maybe 2 Corinthians here. Hold on just a minute. I know the verse. I lost the address here for a second. Hold on just a second here. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Follow along with me as I read in verse 8, 2 Corinthians 1, 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch we despaired even life. How bad did it get? They want to seek his life? He was above strength, he said. It was more than I could bear. For we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We didn't think we were going to get out of this alive, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust. You catch that word, we? Where did we come from? It came from these faithful men that were with Paul, that were traveling with Paul, that helped Paul, and who we trust that he will yet deliver us. Yea, also helping together by what? Prayer for us. You know, these men on the front lines, you know what? These men, faithful men around Paul, they're holding him up. You know what the saints of God can do in the Ephesians church and these other churches? They can be praying for Paul. They're holding Paul up. That by also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf, that as these prayers are answered and God gets the glory and people praise God, the prayers of thanks resound among the people of God. But you know, Paul, he couldn't do it by himself. He had faithful men helping him. He had the prayer warriors helping him. Paul was a giant in the faith, but Paul had mighty men around him because he can't do it all himself. So these 7 men in verse 4, and they all, Sopater, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, Timothy, Tychicus, Triopimus, they all were there to help Paul in his travels. And of course, there's somebody else that was there in verse 6, and we. Who's the we referring to in verse 6? Who's that? Yeah, Luke. Luke's there too. Luke's right there in verse 6 is during this time. You'll notice in Acts the we and kind of goes in and out as Luke joins and departs and joins and reparts. But verse 6, he's right there. Paul had some good men around him, and he needed praying people because Satan wanted to devour and kill him. How much is one soul worth? Priceless. I've said it before, I can't think of, what's the fellow's name that led D.L. Moody to Christ? What's his name? Sunday school teacher. Led D.L. Moody to Christ. D.L. Moody had visited his church, and D.L. Moody moved to Chicago to sell shoes. Visited a church, Sunday school teacher, hadn't seen him in a while, went to visit him. In the back of a stock room, led D.L. Moody to Christ. It's just one person. But what did that one man do for God? D.L. Moody shook two continents for God. D.L. Moody's church, they're still holding service today. Bible Institute. The value of one person, what they can do for God. And for Paul here, he was one man, but what a mighty man of God he was. But there were those around him that helped him achieve what he could achieve. And let's pray for one for another. We need to be men of prayer. And as Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 1:8, praying for us. Well, let's support those that are doing the work of the Lord and be an encouragement to them. And maybe we can be a mighty man around those that are doing God's work to encourage them, to keep them moving forward for God. Well, let's pray here tonight. Dear Lord, thank you for what we've looked at here. And we pray that as Paul made his journeys moving forward, that each of us, Lord, would help those who are called according to your purpose, Lord. And you've ordained to be preachers of the gospel. And I pray that each of us wouldn't be weary in well-doing, because we know in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And through much tribulation we shall enter the kingdom of God. So God, help us be faithful men. Lord, help us as we put our hand to the plow not to look back. Help us, God, as your men and women of God, that we would stand the test and be found faithful in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, God. Lord, put your spirit in us that Paul had. Lord, give us that grit, that determination to be strong in faith and not weak and not to falter and faint. But Lord, having done all to stand and to stand faithful for you. And Lord, we know that one day when we enter into your presence, Lord, we want to hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So Lord, may we be faithful servants for thee and serve you faithfully for the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray. Amen.